Well, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4. If you're unfamiliar where that may be, it is the last book of the Old Testament, and so it will be right before the book of Matthew if you're able to find that as the first book of the New Testament. Malachi chapter 4 this evening. And our focus for the sermon will primarily be on verse 2, but we'll read the whole chapter this evening to set verse 2 in some of its broader context. Please follow along this evening as I read God's word. This is the word of God. It is not the word of men. So let us remember that and receive it in both faith and in love. The Spirit says through the prophet, Malachi 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Let's bow in a word of prayer this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we cherish your word because it is your word. And your word tells us that your words are purified and refined as silver seven times over. And so, Lord, we would seek to be faithful and able students of your word, to hear it not as a demonstration of the power of men, but as a demonstration of the power of your Holy Spirit, who has promised to attend the ordinary means of grace, and to take that which the world regards as foolish, even the preaching of your word, and to use that same preaching of the word to tear down strongholds and to see the kingdom of Jesus Christ advanced from one degree of glory to another. Lord, we do thank you that we can be in this house of prayer tonight. We do thank you that we can sit under the preaching of the word, that all of us here this evening are made hearers of your word. Lord, we feel within us the weakness of the body. We feel within us our own tiredness and exhaustion from a week well spent. And yet, Lord, we pray that even as the flesh is weak, that our spirits would be willing tonight, and that you, O Lord, would rouse us from our spiritual slumber, and that you would shine your light upon us, and that you would make good upon the promises that you have freely given to your people. Oh, be with us this evening, Lord, with all of us who hear, and be with me as I speak. Lord, we don't want to tamper with your word, but we want to make an open proclamation of it to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Again, our focus this evening is on verse 2, where the Lord says through the prophet Malachi, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." There's an old song that my wife and I used to sing to our children as a lullaby. And it's a song written by that man that many of us are familiar with, that godly minister of the 18th century, John Newton. And the title of the song is very simple and plain, but it has always stuck with me as a note of resounding truth. The title of the song is "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And it goes something like this, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it this evening, but to read for you some of the verses in this song that we sang as a lullaby to our children. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It calms his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. It makes the wounded spirit whole. It calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary, rest. And regardless of what we think of the place of hymns, this song conveys to us a truth. The name of Jesus Christ is a name that falls upon the believer's ear with the greatest sweetness. And this evening we come to consider one of the names of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness. Now, to give you a little bit of context, the book of Malachi, in many ways, though it is a short book, it is a very sad book. And it is a very sad book because Malachi shows us, through the message of this prophet, what little progress, if any, the nation of Israel had made since God had covenanted himself with Abraham some 1,000 years before the prophet himself ministers to the people. And when you read the sacred witness and you begin to see what Malachi is all about, and you're familiar with the history of Israel, you know that these people, though God had given them blessing upon blessing upon blessing, were a people who did not walk in the light, but they rather chose to walk in the darkness and in the gloom of sin. And Malachi the prophet comes to this people who are walking in the darkness of sin. This group of people whom he says had profaned the worship of God. This group of people who we have recorded here for us blasphemed the name of Jehovah. This people who were known for robbing the treasuries of God, for questioning his judgments, for despising his reproofs. They walked in darkness and not in the light of who they were. And yet, as always, there was a remnant by grace. And yet even this remnant by grace had grown rather hopeless under the condition of Israel. And so in chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord looks at these people and he says, "You have said it. You have said it. It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" Here's a discouraged people. And yet here in this last chapter of the last book of the last prophet of the Old Testament, a day is announced and declared, a day that will soon dawn, and a day which will serve as a day of division. It will be a day that separates, on the one hand, the ungodly from the godly. And when this day dawns, Malachi tells us, to the ungodly it will dawn like the heat of an oven. And it will burn them up down to their very roots, and it will leave none of them standing. But to the godly it will dawn and the heat of it will be like the warmth of a sun. The one will be destroyed, the other will be spared. One will be ruined for all eternity, and the other will be restored. And Malachi comes to these people, discouraged as they are, in the darkness that they are. He comes to them and he says, I want you to fix your eyes on that day. I want you to look forward to that day, and I want you to be comforted, because those of you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And of course, you can see here, obviously, that the prophet is using solar imagery to depict the promise of the coming Messiah. The Son of Righteousness is a promise concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember that in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, godly Zechariah, before his son John the Baptist is born, speaks these words. He says, my son will be a prophet, and he will come, and he will prepare a way for the Lord himself. And he says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 78, and most commentators are agreed he is using the imagery of Malachi. He says, because the tender mercies of our God are coming, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Or in the older, more archaic language, and yet a little more poetically, the day spring is at hand. The one whom the prophet speaks of here is the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be him, and it can be no other than him. And in keeping with my commission as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my aim this evening is to open for us this sweet-sounding name of Jesus as the Son of Righteousness. And so let us begin this evening by accounting for the name itself. Malachi tells us that the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness. There's a name for Jesus Christ. Now, why is that a name that is appropriate for him? Well, he's called a son. And why is he called a son? I hope this evening that it's not too hard to discern why it is that Jesus is called a son. He is called a son in respect to his glory. I trust that all of you know something of the brightness of the natural sun. If you've ever stepped outside on a summer day and there's not a cloud in the sky, and you go outside and it's a blinding light, and it is so intense and it is so brilliant that when you go inside, no matter how many lights you've tried to turn on in your house, you still feel like you're walking in the dark because the sun shines brightly. Or if you've ever had the misfortune of driving into the sun, you know how almost impossible it is to see the road in front of you because the sun bursts forth in blinding light. And so it is appropriate for the Scripture and in the wisdom of the Spirit to give us the name of Jesus Christ as one who is a son. Because Christ's glory shines like the sun in the skies. You remember on that Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus unveils his glory, we read in Matthew that his face shone like the sun. It was a physical manifestation of the light of his glory, the glory of God triune. And so the Apostle John says, we saw his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father. And no, as we talked about last night for you students, this is not simply a physical glory. The prophet Isaiah tells us that there was no beauty or majesty in him to attract us to him, but principally it is to be understood as a spiritual glory. It is not a glory that is seen here and now with the eyes of the flesh, but it is a glory that is seen with the eyes of our hearts. And so one of the great effects of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, is that we have had the eyes of our hearts enlightened. And that glory, this spiritual glory of Jesus Christ, is so brilliant that it can only be described in terms of light, but not the mere light of a light bulb or some other artificial light, but the light of the sun itself. And so the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And Matthew tells us, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and on them light has dawned." Is it any wonder why Jesus in John chapter 8 identified himself with that "I am" statement, "I am the light of the world"? Christ is a light to the world, and he shines as brightly. Let me actually correct that. He shines infinitely more than the sun in the sky, or if you were to take all the stars and all the suns in all of creation and put them together, they would still be as darkness compared to the shining glory of Jesus Christ. And so Malachi sees him. He is a sun. But he also calls him a son of righteousness. A son of righteousness. Why does Malachi add that word? Why not simply, "The sun shall rise with healing in its wings"? But why does he draw our attention to the Son of Righteousness? Well, try to remember, even as we've briefly explained, the context of Malachi. In verses 13 and 14 of chapter 3, we find that the people are discouraged. That they are asking this question, isn't it in vain that we serve God? That they're saying these things like, what profit is there in keeping his charge or as walking in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And in verse 15, these people are also saying, "And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape." What's going on with these people? Well, these people have a spirit of cynicism. These people are being cynical as they look at the world around them and they say, "Look, the evildoers, they're prospering in this world. And those of us who are trying so hard to keep the commandments of God, aren't we merely keeping these things in vain? Because we look at those who are not keeping the commandments of God, and they're prospering in every way. So isn't it in vain that we have done this?" They are a cynical people. And yet that's so reflective of our own hearts. How often you and I are cynical. We see the same cynicism in Asaph, in that 73rd Psalm, when he looks at the world of unbelievers and he says, "Look at them. Look at the way they prosper. In vain have I kept my way pure." But you see what Malachi is doing in naming for us this Son of Righteousness is that he is breaking through this cynicism. He is breaking through this unbelief because the one who is coming is a Son of Righteousness. The one who is coming is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. The one who is coming is Jesus Christ, the righteous. The one who is coming is, as the angel told Mary, "The child who will be born to you will be called holy. He is the Son of God." This son that is going to rise with healing in his wings is a son who is righteous. That is, he does everything right. In him there is no unrighteousness. But he is, as Moses or as Abraham said long before the prophet, he is the judge of all the earth who will deal right. And isn't that true, that God in Jesus Christ will deal righteously with all men? He will deal righteously with the ungodly. However much they seem to prosper in this life, however much they seem to be living their life in glory and in splendor, there is a day coming when the Son of Righteousness will come. And what will he do? He will, as Malachi tells us in verse 1, burn like an oven, and then all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. He is a Son of Righteousness, who will deal righteously with the ungodly. But I want you to understand this tonight as well, that he will deal righteously with the godly. It's an interesting expression when you think about it. But what I want you to always remember is that when the Lord shows his people mercy, and when the Lord shows his people pardon and patience and grace upon grace, he is not setting aside his righteousness. He is perfectly righteous because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. And if I can say it this way this evening, even though it may sound a little striking, to those who fear the Lord, it would be unrighteous for God to not show us grace and mercy. What is it the Apostle John says in John chapter 1? 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To those who are godly, he will also show himself to be righteous when he rises with healing in his wings on that glorious day when his righteousness will shine forth like the brightness of the sun. He is the Son of Righteousness. But let us, secondly, this evening continue by accounting for this idea of healing. He is a Son of Righteousness who is rising with healing in its wings. I assume tonight that most of you know that sunlight is vital in every way to our health. Sometimes we can get a little too much sunlight and then we get burned or we risk skin cancer. We know that well. But despite that, sunlight is vital in every way to our health. Next to food and water and air, sun is the most important survival factor in the human life. We need sunlight. We need its benefit. It has within itself a healing power over us. And in a rather poetic way, look at the way that Malachi pictures this. He says, "The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing." Where? With healing in its wings. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those summer skies where the sun is shining brightly and perhaps there's just a few clouds. And you can trace the beams of the sun from their source down to the very spot where they are shining upon. And you can see the rays as they radiate from the sun in one direction and in another direction. And what do they look like? They look like wings. And that's the imagery that Malachi is calling to mind here. The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in its wings. With those beams that go from one horizon to another, those beams that stretch forth over the sky, Malachi is drawing this picture for us, this image for us, that the beams of glory and the beams of light that will emanate from the Lord Jesus Christ are bringing healing to us. And what is the healing that the Son of Righteousness gives? Well, think this evening of the many benefits of sunlight in our lives. And you can begin to draw the spiritual analogy. In the darkness of our ignorance, the Son of Righteousness gives us light. You might know that in Ephesians 4:18, The Apostle Paul is painting a picture of fallen humanity, and he says they are dark in their understanding because they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. The ignorance of God and the ignorance of the things of God is compared to darkness. And in Ephesians 5, Paul goes a step further. It's not merely that they have darkness in their hearts, but Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8, they are darkness. Those who are without Christ in this world are darkness. And what that means is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, that they cannot discern spiritual things because they are the natural man and they cannot discern the things of the Spirit. Well, I trust that some of you here tonight, unless the Lord saved you at an early age, isn't that our prayer for all of our covenant children? But that unless the Lord saved you at an early age, you too may even remember this time in your life when you lived in darkness. Do you remember that? Do you remember the days when the things of God seemed so strange and foreign to you? Do you remember what it was like to be ignorant of these things and it made no sense? Why would people read their Bible? Why would they give themselves to the Word? That doesn't make sense to me. Why is it that people speak to an invisible God? Why do men and women commit themselves to the Lord's Day when Sunday can just be another day in my week, another day for me to get things done? Why do people worship God? Those are the questions, whether they ask them out loud or not, that those who walk in darkness are asking, because these things make no sense to them. But you see, when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings, His light breaks into the darkness of our ignorance, and in His light we see light. In Him we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And those things that once seemed so strange to us, we now understand. In the darkness of ignorance, the Son of Righteousness gives us light. But also in the darkness of death, in the darkness of death, the Son of Righteousness gives us life. That's part of His healing power. You ever counted up the number of times and how often death in the Scriptures is described in terms of darkness? Whether it's spiritual death or physical death. In Luke 1, verse 79, Zechariah says that He will come and He will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Death is seen to be something that is dark and shadowy without light. And so you may remember that parable of the king who invites all the guests to the banquet. And He says to those who don't enter in, what is the command He gives? The king says, bind him and cast him into outer darkness. Cast him into outer darkness where there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And the Apostle Jude, in his short but powerful and wonderful epistle, he tells us of those angels who did not keep their position of authority. And so what has God done? God, he says, now keeps those angels in eternal chains of gloomy darkness. Death is likened to darkness. Because those who die without Christ are children of darkness, and their inheritance will be nothing but darkness. But Malachi says, don't you see, the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in His wings. And part of His healing is to bring life to us in the midst of death. And so John, the Gospel of John, he says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And in the 107th Psalm, the psalmist sings, "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart." And this glorious work of the Son of Righteousness bringing life into the darkness of our death is the grounds and the reason why we give the universal and the free offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all without distinction. It is why we preach with the Apostle Paul, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Awake and rise from the dead, because Christ will shine on you. The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. But note this as well, that the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. In the darkness of our affliction, he gives us warmth. Do you remember that suffering servant Job? That godly man who was wallowing in his misery and in his pain and in all of his afflictions. Do you remember that almost right away in the midst of all of his sufferings, what he does? He turns and he curses the day that he was born. He curses the day. And in the midst of his afflictions and in the midst of his suffering, this is what he says in Job chapter 3, "Let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it." And he goes on to say, "May the day terrify it, and may thick darkness seize it." Job is describing his afflictions and his suffering in terms of darkness. Why is he doing that? Because suffering is darkness. When we can't see the way of the Lord, when we don't understand, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now in my life. I know that I'm suffering. I've got my losses and I've got my crosses and I've got my spiritual depression and I am suffering season in and season out and my life is defined by this suffering and this suffering, what it is it's darkness even in the daytime. My suffering is nothing," as Job says in Job 10, "my suffering is a land of darkness." And yet you see what Malachi is drawing our minds to is, yet in the shadow of our afflictions, in the gloominess, in the darkness of our suffering, there is a light that is dawning. The light of his promises, the light of his presence. And what it does is, even in the midst of our sorest afflictions, it is warming our hearts. The psalmist says, "Whether I ascend to the heights of heaven or go down to the very depths of Sheol, yet you are there with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And Asaph, that godly and sweet psalmist, what does he say? "Nevertheless, I am continually with you, and afterward you will take me by my right hand, and you will lead me into glory. My heart and my flesh fail." But what does he say? "The Lord is my strength and my portion forever." The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing. He is bringing warmth in the midst of our afflictions. But the Son of Righteousness is also in the midst of the darkness of our stagnancy. He is rising and giving us growth. We're beginning already this springtime to prepare our garden for our family, and my oldest daughter loves to garden with her mom. One of the things she loves the most is to plant flowers. And I remember last year, she was very sad. She was growing some flowers in the house. And she was looking forward to the day when she could plant those in the garden outside. And suddenly, one of the flowers began to wilt and it began to die. And she said, "Dad, what on earth can I do? I don't want my flower to die. When you're 6 years old, a flower is at the center of your world." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, let's try giving your dying flower a little bit of sunlight. And let's see what that does." And much to both of our amazement, in just a couple of days, that flower sprung back up and it was healthy and it was growing. That's what sunlight does. And when Malachi draws our mind to the Son of Righteousness who is rising with healing in his wings, what that means in part is that in the midst of the darkness of our stagnancy, it is the Son of Righteousness who is giving us growth. It is in his light that we grow in every grace and every virtue and every fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the wise king tells us in Proverbs, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day." Brothers and sisters, the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in his wings. And he is speaking light into the darkness of our ignorance. He is speaking life into the darkness of our death. He is speaking warmth into the darkness of our afflictions. And he is speaking growth into the darkness of our stagnancy. Fix your eyes there upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness. But let us pursue this thought only a little further this evening in accounting for the time. When shall these things be? Notice how Malachi words this. He says in verse 2, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of the Righteousness shall rise." The Son of the Righteousness will rise. For the prophet Malachi, this is a day in the future. From his point of view, it is a day in the future. But the glorious, glad tidings to us this evening is that this is not merely a future day, but the Son of Righteousness has risen, he is rising, and he will rise with healing in his wings. If any of you have ever been awake for the first breaking of dawn, you know the way in which the sun begins to break forth from the horizon. First, it just begins to peek over it just a little bit. And then, without fail, day in and day out, 365 times every year, that sun begins to creep up in the sky. And as it creeps up, it gets higher and higher and higher. And the higher that that sun gets, the more warmth and the more light it shines upon the world until, after its slow and steady pace, it ascends to the very highest point at noonday, shining its light upon us. And you see, that is a wonderful picture for us of how the Son of Righteousness has risen. Because Jesus Christ, in his incarnation, Jesus Christ broke past the horizon and the night of shadows. In the incarnation, the day spring from on high became visible. The sun began to rise. And so the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy that it was at the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Zechariah proclaimed it at the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The day spring from on high is at hand. But just as the sun in our world does not immediately rise to its highest point, so the picture that is being painted here for us is that the Son of Righteousness continues to rise day after day, moment after moment, until at long last it will reach that glorious day of consummation. And the hope for us, the hope for the Church of Jesus Christ in these words and in this recognition is that just as you cannot stop the sun in its courses above, there is no power power in earth, under earth, above the earth that can keep Jesus Christ from rising to the height of glory. There is no way any power ever created will stop the Son of Righteousness from reaching his highest point. And in that day, the Apostle John tells us there will no longer be need for the sun. There will no longer be a need for the moon, because the Lamb shall be the lamp of his people, and in his light we will live forever. This, brothers and sisters, is the promise that Malachi is setting before us. That glorious day when every dark cloud of ignorance and of death and of affliction and of stagnancy is done away with, and Christ will be preeminent in all things. The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in its wings. And we desperately need to see what Malachi saw and live in light of this glorious truth. The hour is late, but I cannot help but ask you this evening, has the Son of Righteousness risen on you? Are you one who is living as a child in the light? Or are you walking in spiritual darkness? Brothers and sisters, you cannot afford that. May the Son of Righteousness rise even this evening in all our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are not those who greet the promises from far off, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, we have all the promises of God, for they find their yes and their amen in him. Even this promise given so long ago, that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in its wings. Rise, O Son of Righteousness, rise. And take your glory and reign. Fill up the role of your elect. And come again to this bright, glorious, and happy day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.